Girl here. Today's topic is part two of the series on numbers, percentages, and decimal points.
Are you stressed out about your mounting debt? If you answer yes, then my new audiobook, Money Girl's 10 Steps to a Debt-Free Life, is for you. It's a step-by-step plan to assess your current financial situation, lower your existing debts, save money, pay down debts in the right order, improve your credit, and lots more. Get the information you really need to take control of your finances, get out of debt for good, and live a happier life. Find Money Girl's 10 Steps to a Debt-Free Life today at audible.com and in the iTunes Store.
First, let's get our terminology right. In some cases, percent and percentage can be interchangeable, but the easiest way to choose the right word for the right situation is to use percent with a number and percentage without a number. For example, here's percent with a number. 40% of the chocolate was missing. And here's percentage without a number. What percentage of the chocolate was missing? Also, in American English, when you write out the word percent, it's one word. It's more common to see the two-word version, percent, in British English. But sources tell me the one-word version is becoming more common in Britain, too. The evolution of the word is kind of interesting. It started out as the Latin phrase percentum, which means by the hundred, and over the years got shortened to the two-word English version, and is now quite established as a single English word. Now, earlier this afternoon, Sean Klein asked me on Twitter whether percentages are singular or plural, and as so often the case, the answer is, it depends. If you're referring to a percentage of something, then that something determines whether you use a singular or plural verb. In technical terms, that something is called the object of the preposition. The preposition is the word of. Here's an example. 40% of the chocolate is missing. In that sentence, the chocolate is singular, so you use a singular verb, is. Here's another one. 40% of the chocolate chips are missing. In that sentence, the chocolate chips is plural, so you use a plural verb, are. But what if there's no preposition or object of the preposition after the word percent? You've lost your clue. First, ask yourself if it's implied. If the implied phrase is singular, use a singular verb, and if it's plural, use a plural verb. Here's an example. The chocolate chips were pillaged. New sentence. 40% were missing. In the second sentence, the plural phrase, the chocolate chips, is the implied object of the preposition, so you use the plural verb were. In the next example, the implied object is singular, so you use a singular verb. The chocolate was pillaged. 40% was missing. Finally, if you have no way to figure out whether the word percent is referring to something singular or plural, you can use whatever verb you like, singular or plural. It's that easy. So, now that you know how to use percents, let's talk about how to write percents in a sentence. Unlike what I told you last week for the general rules about writing numbers, for percentages it's better to use the numeral and not the word, even if it's a number less than 10. If you're writing about the 5% of chocolate chips that were damaged, use the numeral 5 and not the word 5. The only time you would write out the word instead of using the number is if the number was at the beginning of the sentence. Then the rule about not starting a sentence with a numeral takes precedence and you write out the word. Next, you have to decide whether to use percent the word or percent the symbol. This is kind of like the general rule about writing numbers. If you're writing a technical or scientific document, then most sources recommend that you use the symbol. If you're writing something where numbers are used less frequently, then it's more common to write the word percent. Ultimately, it's a style issue, so make a decision and stick with it. Just remember to use the numeral and not the word for the number. If you're talking about a percent that is less than 1, make sure you put a 0 before the decimal point. Write something like 0.2%, not just 0.2%. This is true for writing any numeral that's less than 0, whether it's a percent or not. That little decimal point is too easy to miss without the 0 in front of it. Finally, there are a couple things you should know about calculating and interpreting percentages. First, something can't decrease by more than 100%. Once 100% of something is gone, there isn't anything left. Never write that a price or anything else decreased by 150%. It's impossible. Second, when you're reading about medical, political, or financial news, it's important to understand that big percentages can mean small overall increases or decreases. For example, an article that reports a 50% increase in the rate of a rare disease may be telling you that instead of 1 in 100,000 people getting Flugity-Flork disease every year, now 1.5 people in 100,000 get the disease every year. A 50% increase sounds a lot scarier than the increase in raw numbers. Percentages aren't always misleading, but it's something to watch out for. I know I said I'd cover writing numbers over a million and the use of hyphens, but I'm out of time. I'll put the answers in the email newsletter early next week, so make sure you're subscribed. It's the blue button in the left-hand sidebar at quickanddirtytips.com. Now it's free book time. First, I have 3 signed copies of Scott Sigler's new book, Infected, for 3 lucky winners who are subscribed to my email newsletter. Chris, Christy, and Monica all get a copy of Infected, which hit number 1 on Amazon's horror list this week. Thanks to Scott for providing the books. His info is at scottsigler.com. Questions and comments for me go to feedback@quickanddirtytips.com or the voicemail line at 206-338-GIRL. There's a web bonus this week about the word percentage, and you could read it in the full transcript of this podcast at quickanddirtytips.com, where you can find the other great shows, including Money Girl, The Mighty Mommy, and The Get It Done Guy. That's all. Thanks for listening.